I never thanked you for saving my life. Back in Lagos. She shifts her gaze to the ground. But you did try to kill me twice. So perhaps it all cancels out? It takes me a second to realize she's joking. I'm surprised when I grin. For the second time today, she smiles, and I get a glimpse of why it was so hard for Tsane to look away.
Ah, two lovely ladies,
an elderly Kosedan says, beckoning us closer. He steps forward, his graying hairs glinting under the sun. Please, the merchant's smile widens, carving wrinkles into his leathery skin. Come in. I promise you'll find something you like. We walk around to the front steps of his wagon, pulled by two chitonairs, so large we stand eye to eye. I run my hands along their spotted fur, stopping to finger the grooves in the thick horn protruding from one's forehead. The rider purrs and licks my hand with its serrated tongue before I step inside the extensive space of wares. The musk of old fabrics hits me as we pass through the crowded wagon. On one end, Amari fingers through old clothes while I stop and inspect a pair of suede Mongik's hide canteens.
What are you in the market for? The merchant asks, holding an array of sparkling necklaces.
He leans in, magnifying the deep-set eyes that mark those from Orisha's northern border.
These pearls come from the bays of Jumenta, but these glittering beauties come from the mines of Calabra, sure to turn any fella's head, though I'm sure you have no problem in that department.
We need travelling supplies, I smile, canteens and some hunting gear, maybe flint.
How much do you have?
What can we get for this? I hand him Amari's dress and he unfolds it, holding it up to the light outside. He runs his fingers through the seams like a man who knows his cloth, taking extra time to inspect the burns around the hem.
It's well made, no denying that. Rich fabric, excellent cut. I could do without the burns, but nothing a new hem can't fix.
So? I press.
80 silver pieces.
We won't take any less than.
I'm not in the business of haggling, dear. My prices are fair, and so are my offers. 80 is final.
I grit my teeth, but I know there's no talking him up. A merchant who's traded all over Orisha can't be swindled like an insulated noble. What can we get with 80? Amari asks, holding up a pair of yellow draped pants and a black sleeveless dashiki.
With those clothes, those canteens, a skinning knife, a few pieces of flint.
The merchant begins filling up a woven basket, gathering supplies to get us on our way.
Is it enough?
Amari whispers. For now, I nod. If he throws in that bow.
You can't afford it, the merchant cuts in.
But what if this does not end at at the temple?
Amari lowers her voice.
Won't we need more money, more food, supplies?
I don't know, I shrug. We'll figure it out. I turn to leave, but Amari frowns and reaches into the depths of my pack.
How much for this?
She pulls out her jeweled headdress.
The merchant's eyes bulge out of his head as he stares at the priceless adornment.
My gods, he breathes. Where on earth did you find that?
It doesn't matter, Amari says. How much?